Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, everybody, to the Mission Accepted podcast show. We're so happy to have you here, and I have to do a big shout out for your support. Thank you so much. Yes, we went through a brand change, but you know what? We just got bigger and expanded, and now this show is a platform for entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs and creatives and media to be able to share with you all our little tips, all our little tricks, all our little crazy stories. Because the reason why it's Mission Accepted, if you are an entrepreneur or you want to be one, that's exactly what you're going to have to say to yourself one day. You're going to go, let's do it. And then the fun begins. So I'm super excited today. You know what I love about life? I love when life, when you have an idea. I've always had this philosophy around providence. And there's this great Scottish Himalayan proverb that talks about that when you say yes to something, providence happens. And what that means is that all unforetold, things line up. And you can't figure it out beforehand. You're like, should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I be an entrepreneur? Should I go on this show? Should I, you know, hire this coach? Should I, what have you? And then when you finally get over yourself and you say yes, and you put your fears on that side, right? I always call them goblins. When you tell these goblins to go, you know, go take a vacation, and you let these ones win, yes, 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 then all of a sudden things happen. And I just, that's what happened for me with this amazing guest that is on today. You know, I had been making this decision about this wonderful event you guys will hear more about. And it's all about going to Ireland, and I'm not going to take over the show, but it's an amazing event. And I was on social media. Now I'm intentional on social media, but occasionally I'll see something that catches my eye. And just like any good, you know, silver bauble, whoop, then I go. And I was on a friend of mine's, you know, page, and I was scrolling and looking to see what was going on for her. And then I saw this amazing woman who was into art. And if you know anything about me, I don't know if there's any more room in my location here to put any more art on the wall, but I love art, all kinds of art. And so I started looking at this woman and looking at her page and realizing that she's from Ireland and she's into art. And so just on a whim, my gut said, reach out. Wasn't really sure what we're going to talk about, other than I love both things. I love Ireland, love art. And I did a reach out, and it just ended up being I call it a plethora conversation, where when she said yes to this, I said yes to this. When she was into this, I was into this. And I'm so excited. We got to meet in person, which was great, because lucky me, she's actually in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, where I am. And we met and we had like the best guacamole ever. Best guacamole ever. And this woman does a number of things. Her name is Laura. She's going to come onto the show in just a few minutes and tell you her story about becoming an entrepreneur. But she is deep into the world of art. She's an amazing photographer. She also does, I believe, acrylic, if I have that right. Very versed in sponsorship, event coordination, production management. And she is, again, she's kind of like the full meal deal. She has a lot going on. So Laura, I know that we would love to hear your story about how you decided to become an entrepreneur, and tell us more about yourself. So welcome to the show.
Deb, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be on with you today. Thank you so much for inviting me. Like you said there at the beginning, you know, that energy in the universe, the power of the universe, I am a firm believer in that, and I'm invested in that energy tenfold, right? And I'm invested in the power of that energy, and invested in what it serves back to you, right? Once you're willing to acknowledge it and sort of be open to receive, you know, you get what's meant for you. And what's not meant for you is not meant for you. And that, you know, gives me solace in being able to like move forward with things, and particularly dealing with failures, right? Because as an entrepreneur, you're dealing with failure most of the time. You know, there's a success, and there's all the great highs, and absolutely, but you know, we don't have those without those failures. And I think that's really, really crucial. To being aware of that, I think, you know, for anyone that's considering going out and pursuing entrepreneurship, is recognizing that failure is a huge part of it, but you know, that failure is a positive part of it in many ways. And I think having that relationship with the universe, where you can acknowledge, okay, you know, that wasn't meant to be, or that is how it played out that way, it was supposed to play out that way, you know, it really helps to just keep that sort of balance, and keep that, you know, keep grounded within it all, because it can get so overwhelming, and it can just consume, particularly as a woman, when you're juggling so much in business and life. And you know, it just creates that space to be able to just manage things and establish that balance for yourself. I mean, my journey to entrepreneurship has been, you know, one of many twists and turns. Like, you know, like many people can probably relate to that. It's new, but it's not in many ways. In that, I spent a lot of time working off the side of my desk, years, and that's where I established my foundation for what I do today. You know, was working off the side of my desk in a corporate environment, and it got to a point for me, and I think, you know, again, a lot of people can relate to this with the current state of affairs, you know, work wise, this sort of remote work, how that's become so tangible now and so possible, in a way where before it was almost this like coveted thing, and it was so rare, you know, being able to work remotely, work on the go, you know, work on your own schedule. That was something that was like really, really difficult to achieve and really, really difficult to penetrate. You know, the pandemic brought with it, you know, obviously a lot of negative, but there was some positives too. And I think that's one thing that has been really positive and has really come out of this pandemic. As someone that always strived to be in a position where I could travel with my work and I could be on the go with my work, all of a sudden it became so much more possible than it ever was. And that's partly because my job, well, it was, to be honest, it wasn't a corporate job. It was a federal job, but it was nonprofit. But, you know, you're still dealing with the same kind of hierarchies. You know, and that shifted to a work from home situation pretty early on. I remember it. It was Patrick's Day. 17th of March, I was sitting in the park with my partner just after being sent home from work, not knowing when I was going back to work. All the pubs were closed, like, you know, and here we are literally now 2 years later, and you know, a lot has happened. And so that's where it started. You know, I was working from home with my job, and I decided in September, October of 2021, that was it. I was handing in the notice and I was going full pull on the stuff that was happening on the side of the table, off the side of the table, should I say. So that's why I kind of said at the beginning, it's new, but it's not in many ways, where I've been juggling, you know, juggling all of these different things for a long time. But it got very real towards the end of last year, where There's one thing, you know, and this is, I think this is another huge thing with comes to entrepreneurship, is you know, it's one thing talking about it and saying, oh, you know, someday I'm going to quit my job, I'm going to hand in the, you know, it's very easy to say that. It's a very different thing to do that, to actually do that. It's, you know, there's a lot of fear that you've got to navigate through. You know, there's a lot of acceptance that you've got to navigate through. And I think, you know, once you get to that point and you decide that you're going to take the risk and you're aware of, you know, how this could go, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, it's intense. Even just like little things, you know, and I knew there was going to be a shift, and I knew that all of a sudden the buck was going to stop with me. There was no support, there was no one I could lean on for benefits, there was no one was going to pay my, you know, ink for my printer, you know, like little things like that, you know, that you don't consider, and then all of a sudden it gets really real really fast. And that in itself is scary, you know, so there's a lot of fear, you know, in terms of actually making the move in the first place and deciding, okay, I'm handing in my notice to, you know, an organization I was working with for 4 years that, you know, were good to me, like, you know, were good to me, like, and I was in a position where I could do all this stuff off the side of my desk as well as working full time for this organization, getting all the perks, you know, that federal position, that government position. I mean, you know, it's a lot to walk away from. But I haven't been happier, and I haven't looked back. And I think that's the crux of it, really. You know, I haven't looked back. Yes, it's been tough, but when I really take a step back, and I mean, I'm a self-reflector, 100%, have to take that, you know, take the step back, let it percolate, let it digest, let it filter down. And it's like, when I take that step back and I look at my situation, I think, yeah, no, I'm 100 times happier despite how hard it is. I'm happier.
I think that, so Laura, thank you so much for sharing that, because a lot of times we don't, you know, the reality of the decision. And when you were talking, I was there. Probably because I've been there a number of times. Mm-hmm. The reason why I called the show Mission Accepted is because you might accept the mission, but you have to keep accepting the mission, whether things are mm-hmm. up or whether things are down. And when I hear you talk about the side of your desk, which has got to be the name of the podcast, because I've not mm-hmm. heard that term before. Sweetheart, I'm going to steal that from you. I love it. Thank you. I love Fine. It. Working from the side of your desk. So I want to ask you, so that people really take away some nuggets. You know, it sounded like what you did is, you know, you kind of braved up and you took, you know, you made that. What was it like for you? And what were some of the things that you were telling yourself, or how did you get through that? There's a lot of people, like you said, still working from the side of their desk. They're the part-timers that really truly want to do more. But like you said, there's a lot of fear, particularly in things that have medical, dental, sick leave, those kind of jobs that you, mm-hmm. you talked about. Can you tell people where did you pull your strength from?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was definitely a case of pulling strength to do so, right? Like, and that's the thing, is I just sort of want to emphasize that, no, it's not easy, but like I said, it's in the long run, I'm happier. And really where it came from for me, it got to a point, and again, as women, you reach a certain age and you have to start considering things. You know, you really have to start considering things, because you have this physical clock that is ticking, you know, a clock that men are not racing against. So that was certainly something that just was forcing, it was almost like just pushing, was like, and it was all a sudden I was in a place where it's like, it's now or never, gal. It's now or never. I don't know what you're doing or where you're going, but it's now or never, because right now you don't have anything tying you down. You know, there's nothing tying you down right now. It's now or never. And like, do I want to be in this situation where I'm looking back in 2 years' time? Or should I say, okay, it's also easy to sit there and say, I should have done it 2 years ago. I should have did it 2 years ago, right? But my thing is, I don't want to be in a situation where in another 2 years' time, I still haven't done it. And now I should have done it 4 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So it's right. it's like, just now, right? Because it's never too late. But if you don't start, then it is too late. But yeah. if you start and you go for it, then at least you did it instead of being able to, instead of being in a position where you're saying to yourself, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, you know. And you know, somebody said this to me once, and this really stuck with me, is that this whole thing, what we do this as well, I think, just people, you know, where we should on ourselves.
Yes.
We should on ourselves, right? Yeah. And I didn't, you know, and I do enough of that as it is, you know, with everything. That it's like when it actually comes to like the main story of your life, like the main journey of your life, I don't want to be in a should position with that.
Right.
You know, and this goes back again to like what we were talking about at the beginning and this idea of the universe. And like I said, I'm very in tune with this world that we live in, this life that we have, how fleeting it is, how precious it is, how much potential there is within it. And for me, it's just maximizing that potential from an experience perspective, not so much from like successes or accomplishments, because that's where all this shoulding comes in,
right?
You know, it's about experience. It's about experience. It's about getting up every day and like happy about being up, happy that you have another day, happy that you're doing work that you enjoy. That's where it all came from. And it really, it was that thing of like, okay, yeah, I don't want to be in a position now where two more years pass and now I'm 4 years.
Right.
I should have been doing it.
Right.
You know, so that's what pushed me. And I was fortunate, like, don't get me wrong, I was fortunate and I was in a fortunate position and privileged position to be able to make this life choice and to be able to make this decision. Like I said, you know, no strings attached, in terms of, you know, family ties, mm-hmm. and family strings. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, it was just like, it's now or never.
That's thank you so much for sharing that. And I think no matter what, you know, I get to talk to a lot of entrepreneurs. I get to support and help entrepreneurs go from one place in their business to the other. My day is surrounded by people that are in their passion. And like you said, it doesn't mean that they're having the best day, but they know truly that this is passionate. And, you know, that no matter what, I mean, I truly believe, I know that there's ups and downs and things that work and don't work in terms of, you know, failure or success. It's like, mm-hmm. some of the best, you know, some of the best, quote unquote, what someone would see as a failure has turned around to be the most incredible lesson that brings that person, you know, a six-figure income 6 months later or a year later, because they had that experience there, they shift, they mm-hmm. pivoted, they learned, and then all of a sudden it's sales. I want to yeah. talk a little bit more about the nature of your work. Mm-hmm. What is it that you do? Because, you know, we get these titles, you know, mm-hmm. anti-aging expert or digital marketer and a lot of people don't really know. It's so incredible. I meet people sometimes, and even with my 30 years in business, sometimes I'm like, so I understand that you're, do you want to tell me what that does? And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, sure. I'm like, there's lots of people that want to know. So tell me, when someone comes to you, I mean, we met and you are working on an incredible project right now. Mm-hmm. For those of you that are in Canada or from Vancouver, we know of this incredible event called Art Vancouver. Maybe because a lot of people, you know, project management, some people just see that as real estate or they see that as a corporate job mm-hmm. that oversees. So maybe just share with us a little bit about what it is that you do and why you decided mm-hmm. to go into that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I wear a lot of hats, and it comes back to that sort of elevator pitch, you know, describe yourself in five sentences. And I always struggle with that, because I don't like to pigeonhole myself too much. But I mean, what I can say is that anything that I do from the perspective, from an art-based perspective, from a creative perspective, whether that's creative direction, creative management, creative project management. It's a kind of creative sphere and a creative world that I live in. So I do a lot of event management, project management, creative direction, and that can range from anything to a software company to Vancouver's International Art Fair taking place at the convention center, right? Like the physical art event where you have hundreds of exhibitors from around the world exhibiting their work, coordinating, project managing that, dealing with sponsorships, coming up with creative ways to activate the space, to doing things like working for a software company and thinking and coming at that from a creative perspective in terms of the business development, how to creatively develop that business. And so I kind of say, you know, if I was to put the elevator pitch together and summarize it, it's like a curator of experiences. And it's through that lens of business and sales. But there's always that underlying art-based factor. And that comes from the fact that I am an artist myself, first and foremost. And that is something that I prioritize over this sort of capitalist cogs or the corporate side of things. While of course, you know, everything has its place and I'm versed in the corporate sphere just as much as I'm, you know, versed in the nonprofit creative world. I think that's actually something that's quite unique in terms of what I can bring to the table, is having that understanding of every level of hierarchy, whether you're dealing with charity, whether you're dealing with nonprofit, whether you're dealing with corporate, whether you're dealing with startup. I have experience across the board with all of these types of businesses and working with them through that creative lens, trying to push towards developing strategy, developing growth, but developing it, I mean, I don't want to say the word sustainable, and I'm trying to avoid buzzwords, but like developing it in a way that's, you know, that's good, you know, that they're, you know, developing it without these elements of corruption or developing this, you know, ruthlessness, you know, and just, I do what I do, like, I do what I do, and I'm trying to survive for me so that I can live a life of experiences. Like, I'm not trying to have X vehicle or X address or X whatever, right? I'm just trying to do work that I enjoy that has a positive impact on the world. And if I can work for myself in the process, then yes, please, because I would rather have a shitty day over some mistake I made or some error that I made for myself than have a boss wagging their finger at me. I can't handle that. I can't deal with that. Maybe that's because, you know, that I, well, it's not, maybe I know it comes from my issues with authority. But you know, I'm someone that in general, you know, struggles with that, that timekeeping and that aspect of things, because I like to work autonomously. And for me, I will get the work done. Like, you know, you give me the deadline, the work will be done, and I'll do it in my way and on my terms, and I'll do it with the utmost professionalism. But I don't need the tick, tick, you're 5 minutes, you know, you're gone 5 minutes over there on lunch. I have zero tolerance for that, you know, It comes from the fact that, you know, I just feel my work speaks for itself, and you've delegated something to me, you've assigned something to me, it'll be done. It'll be done 110% and it'll be done on time. I don't need this.
So for those of you that are not watching and you're listening to the podcast, she's pointing to her hands where the watch is, you know, and I got to tell you, I'm having like a remembrance, and I've had a number of businesses, and I remember when my companies got to the point where I needed a creative director, and I just didn't know what necessarily a creative director is. My ex-husband was in creative and he was in marketing, what have you. And so I understood to a certain degree, but I love that you use the word strategy, because when you think about anyone's company, the infrastructure, really, honestly, it's like, where's your goal? Here's your goal. This is what you want to do. This is the direction in how we can go about it. And hiring a creative mind like yours is so expansive. Mm-hmm. Look, I have a creative mind. And when I get to, when I hire another creative mind, so I'm an entrepreneur, when entrepreneurs hire creative entrepreneurs, it's incredible the stuff that mm-hmm. happens. But the nice thing about someone like hiring someone like yourself is that you bring the strategy to the place. You bring mm-hmm. the structure within the creative. So I remember mm-hmm. I used to talk to my creative director and it's like, okay, we got four businesses. What's our theme? What's our brand? What is it that our people are going to get from this? What's the experiences they're going to get from this? How can we bring it all together so that it's a successful kind of proposal to people, you know? And I love that you talk about the creative yet the structural, the creative yet the strategy, mm-hmm. because they really, mm-hmm. that's brilliance, right? Like that's mm-hmm. the brilliance. It's like the artist who, you know, the creative who never sells their things or doesn't know anything about marketing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I come from the world of holistic practitioners, right? And 25 years ago, there was all this talent and they didn't, and people didn't know how to take themselves to market, right? They talk about the starving artist or what have you. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting together and going, okay, people, let's get ourselves to market. But what yeah. you do is incredibly important. Honestly, even from the beginning of a conceptual event. So yep. talk a little bit about the event that's coming on in Vancouver. Yeah. On what you're doing there. You got a date night. I know there's a date yep. night.
Yep. Yep. It's a fully programmed weekend in Vancouver. So just going back to your earlier point there as well, Deb, about, you know, strategy, that's just it. Like, for example, right now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I'm doing for the Vancouver Visual Art Foundation, Vancouver Convention Center, where that can be seen as a conventional creative event. But I'm also working for a software company in Montreal, and I'm working for them in marketing and acquisition and business development, right? So it's like I'm doing all of that, and you know, that it's quite sterile, it's tech, and so I'm adding that layer of that tangible layer of person, humanity, you know, giving that to the tech, to the software. So I'm doing that, but I'm also working in sponsorship, development, event coordination for the Vancouver Visual Art Foundation. And so their flagship event, Art Vancouver, is taking place this coming May. So we were down for 2 years with the virus. So we're back with a bang this year, and we're back bigger than ever. Prior to the 2 year hiatus, we had been this is our sixth year. So we had done 5 years. But we're coming back now. We're coming back to an even bigger hall, an even bigger event hall. Our space has doubled. And so the event runs from the Thursday to the Sunday. So the 5th of May to the 8th of May. Each day sort of has its own agenda. It's got its own kind of theme. Our Thursday night is our VIP night, you know, the big opening night. The VIPs get in an hour before everybody. We've got a big runway show going on. Essentially, we have over 100 exhibitors, international, local, and national. They're all exhibiting their work in the event space. But there's a number of other activations going on throughout the space that's ranging from, you know, furniture, like creative furniture placement to create VIP lounges and audience attendee lounges. It's like activating the space in different ways using, we'll say, furniture, raising questions like, is furniture art? These questions then translating into panel talks. We've got art competitions, we've got art demonstrations. So the Thursday night, as I said, is VIP night. Friday night is new. This year, we're doing something new on Friday night. It's date night and corporate night. So it's kind of like, you know, get everyone's back in the office, get your team together, back to the corporate team building. This is, you know, a great opportunity to come down, see some art, you know, walk around, see all the other activations. And then we're also in talks with Events and Adventures, who they represent a number of singles in the Lower Mainland. And, you know, we're getting together for a single mingle, Plenty of Fish. We're also in talks with to, you know, get, you know, singles together, working together to create a piece of art to see how, you know, to see how they get on, almost like, you know, building a piece of IKEA furniture. You know straight away whether you want to see that person again. So
that's awesome.
You know, like, so it's that's a prime example of how you coming at things creatively, where it's like, okay, let's think about couples, and let's think about how couples would really get to know each other. Okay, well, yeah, building a piece of IKEA furniture will tell you about someone straight away. So it's like, how do we then carbon copy that through like a creative lens, an artistic lens? And it's like, okay, well, let's give them an easel, let's give them 30 minutes on the clock, a theme, and, you know, they have to create something together, and then they compete against other couples, and then there's a winner. So there's something at stake then as well, you know, to actually encourage and motivate to create the piece. So like that's a prime example of coming at things through that creative lens. But that's a huge part of my role for the Vancouver Visual Art Foundation. And it's funny because this foundation was one of those foundations that I was working with off the side of my desk way back when. So I started with these guys back in 2018. Was my first at Vancouver, because I actually had spent some time in Australia. I was in Australia for 2 years, and I came back to Vancouver, and I met the folks at the Vancouver Visual Art Foundation. And, you know, here I am now, 4 or 5 years later, responsible for a huge part of the development of that event, you know, most specifically our Art Masters competition. Which now the competition Art Masters, which was essentially, you know, my brainchild, that we put together as a kind of satellite event, something that we could do outside of those four days, you know, those 4 days we do every year to do other things throughout the year, was this art competition. And we did it in a local venue here in Gastown, and we had the first competition. I think Art Masters is going into its eighth competition now. And you know, it's interesting because with Art Masters, and that this Art Masters will be on the Saturday of Art Vancouver. The mm-hmm. Art Masters competition will take place on the Saturday, and essentially it's 8 artists, and they're given a mystery box of supplies. However, the supplies are unconventional. So there'll be no paintbrushes, no palette knives, no nothing like that. You know, like one time we gave someone a shoe. You know, it's amazing what people were able to create, you know, with that stuff. But essentially, yeah, like, you know, it's called Art Masters. Like, you know, you think you're a great artist, you know, you're a great painter. Okay, let's see you paint with no paintbrush. And that's kind of, you know, where it came from.
Right.
And they're given one theme in advance, and then 1 hour on the clock, and then the audience will choose the winner. So this will all be happening at the Convention Center, like all of these little sub-satellite events that I've been involved in creating over the years are now part of our main program at the Convention Center. And these little satellite activations weren't there 4 or 5 years ago. And so the event is growing and growing and growing, expanding every year. Like I said, we have a bigger space now this year, but even things like those little activations is just sort of like a prime example of the type of work that I can do for a business, for an organization, come in creatively and develop.
I think that's perfect. I love how you just explained. And, you know, so first of all, if you are listening and you are in this area and you want to get to that event, we're going to put all the contact information, and please come support the event. If not, Obviously hiring someone like yourself, when you hear that, when you hear that, if you are an entrepreneur or you're a creative or you're an artist or you're what podcast host, radio host, I mean, entrepreneurs by nature think out of the box, probably because a lot of the times we get forced to, you know what I mean? We're like, okay, this isn't working. Well, you know, we better figure this out and we better figure it out before month end, you know? And so you start to get creative. And what you just explained there are mind-blowing. They're really mind-blowing. Like having couples from a dating site, you know, coming and figuring out how to put a piece of IKEA furniture together, even though I know it's not IKEA, but right. Do you know what I mean? That conceptually thinking out of the box and just how that elevates the event. And if there's anything that people take away from listening to you today would be about when these, like what you call them, installations, it's like the building blocks to taking something ordinary and escalating it. So it becomes, you know, almost, I don't want to say untouchable from a competitive advantage, but really untouchable from a competitive advantage, having someone do that creative direction like you're doing, because, you know, most entrepreneurs, we're in the thick of it. We're building, we know the bills that are needing to get paid. We know that we need another virtual assistant, but we can't see the money to figure that out. So you know what I mean? We're like, we're swimming in the water. And then someone like you comes along and goes, hey, if we just kind of do this, that might actually draw a lot of people. And here you are sitting trying to, you know, work your Instagram account or work your Facebook account or buy some Facebook ads because you're really hoping that that happens. But all of a sudden, all you need to do is maybe something like this and run a contest or exposure. Totally. And it just opens our minds, particularly because we've all been in the online, you know, plethora for the last 24 months. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really nice to hear of some creative out of the box things that are kind of, you know, going, I'm not saying, you know, we're online right now for, you know, lack of a better word, but some of those out of the box thinkings again, and get that part of our brain working. Yeah. I have to ask a couple of things that's just kind of put all that stuff aside. That's been super juicy. So obviously you have an Irish accent. So tell us, what was it like when you decided to leave Ireland and go and explore yourself? You know, was your family supportive? Were they like, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? So tell us a little bit what it's like to pick up and leave country.
Yeah, sure. Look, I'll start crying now, Deb. You know, and it's like,
you know, start crying. You're going home soon.
You know, I left home. I'm gone a long time, and it's hard, you know. There's an element of it that's just entwined in the Irish way, you know. The Irish have always left. And it's, you know, I mean, I can't speak for the country or speak for a group of people as a whole, but you know, it's often not because of any negativity, or you know, it's not never necessarily like fleeing anything. It's just part of that Irish way was, you know, to leave and work and come back. And so I left when I was young, you know. I left when I was young. I was 17. I had tried to go when I was 15, you know, like super young. But like, again, you know, I have incredible parents, and I, you know, I came, had an incredible childhood, extremely stable and comfortable. But for me, I just had that, like, my feet want to run spirit. My feet want to run. I need to see this world. I need to see it yesterday. And so instead, you know, my mom kind of said, right, she sent me up to Dublin. I'm from Cork down south. But she sent me up to Dublin and, you know, said I could do, you know, went to do a bit of acting instead, like to just keep me there. And then I finished, you know, I finished my schooling, and I decided then when I was 17 that I would leave to go to London. And so I went to London. I was there for 3 years. I did go to university when I was in London. So I studied there in the University of Westminster. And after I graduated, I felt like I needed a quieter life. I mean, there's city living and then there's London.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you know, and I think London's a place where you can't go to London to get established or get off your feet. You go to London when you've already achieved that, right? It's like New York. I don't know. It's not necessarily like the best place to actually try get on your feet, but I said, I needed a quieter life, and I had a friend in Vancouver who I met when I was 15. That time I tried to go to Dublin, and this girl was about 5 years older than me, and she was here in Vancouver, and she said to me, come, Loris, come to Van, great. And I just thought, okay, sure, I will. So and yeah, that was 8 years ago. So this February now marks my 8th anniversary here. I did take a break. I went to Australia for a couple of years in between. And then, like I said, I came back and I started working for the Vancouver Visual Art Foundation. I worked for Capture Photography Festival here in Vancouver. I worked for TED. I worked for the Magenta Foundation. I worked with Blends. And I was developing all of these relationships after I came back from Australia. And then I was working my full-time job. And then it got to a point in October of 2021 where I decided, okay, I'm going to go for this. You know, I'm going to go for this. I think I've got enough behind me here where I can give this a real decent go. But, you know, as I get older now, I am looking to get back home and spend more time at home. And like, that's the thing with the Irish is, you know, we end up home one way or the other, really. I mean, you know, there's some of us don't ever go back. But most of us end up back there one way or the other. So yeah, you know, and then this also fed into my decision to go out on my own and just work for myself, was so that I could spend more time at home, so that I could be in Ireland and work from Ireland and not have to worry about vacation times or Ireland taking up all my vacation time, and then, okay, you know, then I can't get away to the sun for a week because I need to go home. And, you know, you're making juggling those decisions. So, you know, there's a lot of things that went into the decision, and there's a lot of things that got me here. And I think that's what motivated me and pushed me in the end, was knowing that in the long run, it was going to pay off if I just, you know, stayed steady and firm in my track, you know, continue to believe in myself, continue to take the failures with the successes, not let it get me down, don't give up. It's not about the success. It's about that pursuit of happiness, not mm-hmm. that pursuit of success, for me anyway. And I mean, if the success comes with it, oh yeah, I mean, well, they'll take it, you know, mm-hmm. sure. I'll take mm-hmm. the accolade, I'll take the recognition, I'll take the award if it's deserving and it comes my way, absolutely. But for me, it's a pursuit of contentment, a pursuit of happiness, and being able to, you know, just, it's a lifestyle thing, right?
Yep, like my work, absolutely.
Being my life,
yeah,
a lifestyle, yeah, creating my own life,
creating your own life. So look, we have talked, you know, we've talked quite a bit here and given lots of ideas and suggestions, and you definitely have painted the journey of your story of being an entrepreneur. Can't wait to see what's next for you and what you create mm-hmm. next for us. Mm-hmm. So Laura, I've got to ask you one last question, and then I'm going to let you tell people where to get in touch with you. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're going to put all of that in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. But so I have one last question for you that's not got anything to do with being an entrepreneur. So if you were going to a desert island, and clearly you like to take journeys, so if you were taking a journey to a desert island and you were only allowed to take one album with you, that's it, just one, album, what's it going to be, girl?
Oh my God, Deb, I love that you've ended this with a music question. I absolutely love that. Music to me is my ultimate passion. It's my ultimate passion. So if I went to a desert island and I had only one one song, one album.
One album. You can have the
hands
album.
Down. Okay. Okay. Hands down, Leonard Cohen, Famous Blue Raincoat.
Awesome.
And he's a Canadian.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, Leonard. Len's my man.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, look, we're going to wrap up real quick here because we're at the top of the hour. So do you want to share with people how they can reach you, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can reach me on email, lkndesignpress@gmail.com. You can get me on Facebook, Laura Noonan, Instagram, @TheLauraNoonan. I'm on LinkedIn as well, Laura Noonan. My website is www.mmatlp.com. Just Google Laura Noonan Vancouver. You'll find me somewhere.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you're in a scurry of events right now, and then you are packing up soon enough to go home. So we appreciate you squeezing this in. And please, everybody, come down and see what this woman has put together in Art Vancouver, and all that information will be there as well. So thanks for joining us today. And look, everybody out there, if you think you've got something you'd like to share, if you would love to talk about your journey as a creative or someone in media or an entrepreneur, and if you don't know what that is, call me and I'll tell you. But if you'd like to be on the show, I'd love to hear from you. That's what we do here, create platforms through publications. If you'd like to be part of a book on entrepreneurship, please contact us. We've got some spots available for this coming year's books. So thank you so much. Please share Laura's story and inspiration. And I was laughing halfway through that. That was so great. It brought a lot of joy for me. So thanks for coming on. And thank you so much for being incredible listeners and viewers. And we will see you next week.